today I'm going to carry on from where I stopped last week. We're looking at the last installment of the series that we've been looking at. The series we've been looking at is The Fulfilled Life. The Fulfilled Life. And this is the fourth part. So what I've tried to do over the last 4 weeks is to kind of like have the conversation with us around how we can live a fulfilled life. And I've put it into different areas. I've said, we looked at the foundations of a fulfilled life. What does that mean? Again, trying to fine-tune our perspective of the measure of fulfillment in one's life. So we looked at that at first. We also looked at living a fulfilled life on a day-by-day basis. Last week, we looked at living a fulfilled life from the spiritual perspective of our lives. And today, we'll be looking at what I've called living a fulfilled life in your work, school, or caretaking life. So what I'm doing is I'm looking at like our normal everyday life. So I've looked at that. I've looked at the spiritual perspective. Today, I just want to look at it in the context of work. And when I mean work, I'm meaning that to include school. If you're a student, I'm meaning that to include maybe like stay-at-home parents. So if, for example, one has a child that one looks after at home, you're like a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home parent, this also applies to you. And what I'm just trying to do, or what I'm trying to achieve with this series, is so that we can see the simplicity of God's word and the fact that we can actually apply God's word and God's views to our everyday lives. So it's nothing, so it's not something that's out there or something that is so theological that it doesn't affect our everyday life. God's word, God's views, God's life is meant to affect us on a daily basis, not just on the Sundays when we all gather in church or when we have meetings like this, which is great. But God wants our lives to be affected by his word so that we can live a fulfilled life while we're on this earth with the hope of eternity as well. So that's kind of like the summary of what I'm trying to achieve, seeing or trying to highlight how God's word is so simple and how we can apply it on a day-by-day basis to every area of our lives. So that's that. Today we're looking at, like I mentioned, the fourth and the final part, the fulfilled life in the context of work, school. And like I mentioned earlier, if you're a stay-at-home parent, then this also applies to you because it's what you know, it applies to you because that's what you do in, well, that's what you do apart from work and apart from school. So it's just all those things covered. Now, I'm going to be looking at a number of points here tonight. And again, very simple points. But I think the thing with the Bible is that there are times that things seem so simple. It's like, come on, it has to be slightly more complicated than that. No, it doesn't have to be. God's word is simple. And if we can just apply the simplicity of God's word into our lives, that's when the power from the word is actually released into our current situation and into our everyday lives. So it's simple stuff, in quote, however, stuff that can affect our lives tremendously, just focusing on God's word. So the first thing that we want to look at in the context of this fulfilled life, work, school, and our livelihood, the first point I want to look at is the fact that God wants you and I to be fulfilled in the work that we do. And when I say in the work that we do, remember, whether you're working at an office or you have a business, whether you're a student and whether you're a stay-at-home mom or dad, God wants you to enjoy your work. And not only does he want you to enjoy your work or whatever it is you do in this context, not only does he want you to be fulfilled in it, he also goes a step further to ensure that you can be fulfilled by supernaturally enabling you to be fulfilled. Now, someone might say, hang on, what are you talking about? Yes, there is a supernatural aspect of work where God can give you joy in the job that you do. God can give you joy as a stay-at-home mom, looking after young kids. God can give you joy in your studies as you're a student, supernaturally as well. Now, if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24, it says that there is nothing, but this is the New King James Version, by the way. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. I don't know if we've seen the scripture before or if we've paid particular attention to it, but this portion of scripture is saying, look, for a man to enjoy, looking at the later part, to enjoy for his soul, or for someone to enjoy the good labor of what they're doing, it says, this also is from the hand of God. So what that begins to tell us is this, that in whatever job you are in, whatever course you're taking in school, and if you're a stay-at-home mom, there is a supernatural aspect of that. Well, let me say there's a supernatural aspect. God can bring a supernatural aspect to it, even though, in quote, it's not what you do in the context of the church. So this portion of scripture is telling us that God can bring you to a place where you begin to enjoy what it is you're doing supernaturally. That's where you begin to experience joy at work. Well, when I say joy at work, not necessarily joy from whatever is happening at work, but the fact that when you are doing your work, whatever it is you're doing, God can give you a supernatural joy in the context of that. So that whatever it is you're doing is not like a routine. It's not like oh my goodness, it's, you know, there's this phrase, thank God it's Friday, which is not a bad phrase, but God can make your work so joyful that you even want to take work into the weekend, whether it's a Saturday or a Sunday or whatever day it is. You're not like exhausted. Well, you could be exhausted if you overwork yourself, but God can give you a supernatural supernatural fulfillment in it. And it's something that just energizes you. Now, if there's something that we really take to heart, it can really transform our lives in work. So your job might be stressful. That's not what I'm saying. Your job might be quite demanding. That's the physical part. But God can give you a supernatural touch, if I use that word. And you begin to almost enjoy, you begin to get a certain kind of joy as you walk, as you work, whatever it is you're doing or whether you're in school. That's what Ecclesiastes also said as well. So that's what we've looked at. So the second thing we want to look at is this. Now, there is a certain way that we can approach work. And I'm going to divide it into two parts. We can go to work, look after our kids at home. We can go to school, and we see it as a kind of like a dutiful thing. It's like a duty. It's not something that we particularly are fond of. Not something that we particularly are like really keen. It's, we wake up on the Monday morning, we look at our clock. Oh my goodness, another Monday. I need to go to work. And we can view work that way. We push ourselves, you know, just do whatever it is we do. That's one approach. Now, that can come from a place of tiredness. I mean, there are times that it's been a Monday and I'm like, my, I don't really want to go to work today. I just want to lie in bed. I've had such a long weekend. No, I'm not talking about being tired and as a result of that, you just want to lie in bed. No, I'm talking about a mental state where when you wake up in the morning and you look at what you have to do at work, or you look at how you have to take care of your kids in the morning, in the afternoon if you're a stay-at-home parent, and it just fills you with a certain kind of discontent. you're not happy about it. It's just like, man, it becomes a chore. Now, that can be the case in many instances. However, there's another portion of scripture that says, look, let me actually read it. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. We use this for our workers in church as well. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So this begins to tell us something, that if you and I begin to view our work, if we begin to view maybe like our responsibilities as stay-at-home parents, if we begin to view our responsibility of going to school as unto God, something supernatural begins to happen to you. And why I'm saying this is this: we can approach work from, okay, I'm just going to a job, 9 to 5 or whatever it is your hours are, and you're like, okay, I'm just going to do what I have to do. It's, you know, you go to, you have, if you're an employee, you turn up at work and it's like, okay, yeah, I'm doing this for my boss. My boss wants me to do this. I'm just going to make sure I do it and satisfy this boss that's always on my back. Oh, wow, I have so much work to do. I'm just going to get it done and that's it. No. That's one way of working. But God says something here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, that you can begin to approach work as if you are going to work for Christ. What does that mean? Obviously, if you're an accountant and all that, it's not like you're working for Christ physically. But no, you can have the attitude that, look, this work that I'm doing, even though it is for X, Y, and Z company, even though it is for, you know, this or that company, I'm going to view it as I'm working unto Christ. Now, as we begin to, as we have that attitude and as we carry on, you know, from that perspective, something begins to happen. God then, looking at our attitude and our view or our perspective, can override certain things with regards to work. When I say override, so it might be that where you work is not really pleasant to work. I mean, they stress you out quite a lot there. And, you know, you can, you know, that happens quite a lot. But if you now begin to see yourself as working for Christ, whatever it is you do, whether you're looking after your kids, you're doing it joyfully because you know that, well, this I'm doing unto the Lord. What God begins to do is he begins to fulfill that Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 24 that we read in the first point, where God will bypass the natural reward that you're not getting or that you're getting. And because you're doing whatever it is you're doing as unto him, he then begins to reward you what I'll call double payments. So your employer pays you like a wage, which is fine, but God also begins to reward you in a certain manner. And the reward he begins to give you is a supernatural enjoyment of your job. I hope I'm tying this together correctly and that we understand what I'm saying. So what I'm talking about here is living a fulfilled life in the context of job, in the context of our job. I was talking to someone last week. It's someone that I respect so much. And, you know, sometimes we speak and, you know, we have these conversations and all that. And I sometimes just bounce ideas with him. And one thing he mentioned to me, which struck me as a bit odd, is he said, look, that why is it that everything that everything in life, let me rephrase it, that when I'm talking about regular things, I often seem to approach it from a very spiritual perspective. And I was like, wow, I didn't really think about that. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying this because we're talking about work here. Now, oftentimes, you know, we would hear people say, which is good, work hard, be a diligent Christian at work, make sure you don't, you know, do what you're meant to do, be respectful and all that. That's fine. But there is a supernatural aspect to that, to the side of work, to there's a supernatural aspect to work as well. And that's what I'm highlighting here. So in my view, everything has a spiritual perspective to it. Well, let me take that back. Not everything. Most things in our lives we can view from a supernatural perspective where we bring God into the picture, or we can just go it alone and we just do things normally as someone who is not who wouldn't look at it from a spiritual perspective. Sorry, I'm just going to pause a bit. Sorry, people, there's something wrong with my connection. Can we all hear me? If you can hear me, can you just wave, please? I think all your cameras are off. Okay, let me just do something. Prince, can you hear me? If you can hear me, can you just wave so that I'm not just... I'm muted. Hi, can you guys hear me? Tish, can you hear me? Just put a finger up, if your thumb up. You can hear me? Okay. Sorry about that. There's something kind of like amiss with our internet here. But hopefully it doesn't pan out again. Well, if it does, you know, you guys just don't worry. We'll carry on. I'm recording it anyway. So I'll just put the recording out if it goes a wire. Okay. So sorry about that. Technical difficulties with the internet. Okay. Let us rewind. So, can you pin me, Prince? Can you pin me on the screen? Yeah, I'm not pinned. Have you pinned me now? I don't think so. Sorry, I'm just... All right, so I'm pinned now. All right, sorry about that interruption. You know, this is one reason why it's good to be live in church, so you don't have all these internet disruptions. But don't worry, like I said, if the connection goes down again, we'll just wait for it to come back, but I will put the video out and the audio on so we can listen to it again. Okay, let me carry on from where I stopped. So we're looking at the fulfilled life from the perspective of work. And where I stopped off was we looked at the fact that the first point was that God wants us to be fulfilled at work. And when I say work, it involves if you go out to the office or an office to work, or if you're self-employed, it includes going to school as a student. Also includes you if you're like a stay-at-home parent. So that when I say work, that's the context that I'm looking at. Stuff that you do during the day. So I said God wants us to be fulfilled at work. And we looked at a scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 24, that says that God gives us joy, or he's the one that gives us the ability to enjoy work. So that's a supernatural aspect of that. The second point I looked at is the fact that We looked at Colossians chapter 2, verses 23 to 24. And I said that we can view work or whatever it is we do in this context as a natural thing where we're working for a boss, we go to our office, we clock our time, we're looking after our kids, we just, you know, look after them. And it becomes like almost like a real grinding chore. It might be because we're tired, it might be because things are not working the way we want. So those things happen at work. But what I'm saying is that if we begin to look at work as unto Christ himself, God can bypass those feelings you have about work, even if they're good feelings, and give you a supernatural kind of joy, a supernatural kind of fulfillment with work. And I believe that when the Bible begins to say working as unto Christ, God can, because we have that attitude or that perspective, he can override a number of things around us and just, you know, give us the supernatural joy where we become really fulfilled with work. So that's the second thing I looked at. Now, I have three more points to go tonight. The third point I want to look at is this, and you know, this is quite an important one. The third point I want to make tonight is that we need to be really, really, really mindful that we do not let work overwhelm our lives. What do I mean by that? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4 says something. It says, "No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." So the third point here is saying something to us. This is something that I, you know, really have to put a tab on from my end as well. And this third point is saying that we need to be really careful that we do not allow work, school, or whatever it is, maybe child, you know, bringing up kids, if you're a stay-at-home parent, we must be careful that we do not allow that to overwhelm us. What do I mean by that? I was just thinking back, and for me particularly, there are times that I've done my work at the office, but I don't leave the job at my office. Well, we all work from home now. When I switch off my office computer and all that, and it's not uncommon that you are thinking about what happened in the office. Even late into the evenings, you're having dinner. And it's like that life just, you know, that's what overwhelms your mind. You're thinking about your boss. You're thinking about what this co-worker said to you. You're not really too pleased about that thing. And it appears that your whole thought process, my whole thought process, everything that we're thinking about is just about work. And it's just, it becomes overwhelming. The same thing can happen for a stay-at-home mom who's, you know, is looking after kids as well. You have like three kids or four kids that you're looking after. One of them is 1 year old, two, the other one is four. And all day you're running up and down, making lunch for them, reading them stories. And at the end of the day, it's like, oh man, I'm fagged out here. And what you're thinking about is, okay, what am I going to do the next day? While you're sleeping, what activities can I do to make sure these kids are well occupied? Do I do homeschooling? Do I do this? And you think about that into the night. Now, am I saying that's wrong? Not at all. We should, you know, be quite engaged with whatever it is we do. But what I'm saying here is that we need to be mindful and careful that our work life does not overwhelm us. When I mean overwhelmed, I'm not talking about when you're at work or when you're doing work. I'm talking about emotionally, where you'll carry work into everywhere. And, you know, mind the context of work here, school, looking after kids and all that. And your mind is, or my mind is just like constantly focused on that, to the exclusion of focusing on Christ. That's a challenge that we need to really be aware of, because in our modern society nowadays, everything moves so quickly. There's stuff that you need to do. You need to do this. You need to pay this. You need to go here. And before you know it, in the 24-hour span you have per day, you probably just, you know, have a flash thought about God maybe 5 minutes in that whole 24 hours. Why? Because one can become overwhelmed with the daily chores of work or child upbringing, so on and so forth. So the fourth thing is this, before I look at the last bit. So we just need to be aware of that we don't let that happen. Now, how do we deal with that? I'll look at that last. But there's a point, the fourth point I want to make here is this. And I wrote the statement here, and I'm going to read the statement out that I wrote. And what I wrote is, there is no there. There is here. I don't know if that makes sense, but I'll explain what I mean. Let me repeat that phrase. It says, I said here, there is no there. There is here. Now, what was I trying to capture in that phrase? I was trying to capture something that happens to us a lot, not just in work, but in life generally. And that is where we do not live in the present. We're not living in the present and enjoying the present and dealing with the present. Instead, we're projecting into the future. We're living in the future, and that future that we're looking for doesn't necessarily come as soon as we want it to or when we expect it. What do I mean by that? Someone might say, all right, I'm in a job at the moment and that job is not exactly paying me what I want to be paid. And you're like, I'm not really pleased about that. 6 months down the line, 1 year down the line, I'm hoping to be promoted. When I get that promotion, yes, then things will work out for me. I'm going to be really happy. Or you might be thinking to yourself, oh, my kids, I want my kids to be 10 years old. By then I'll stop. I won't have to, well, not 10 years old. I want them to grow up quick. So I won't have to wash nappies. I won't have to be attending to them 24/7. And that's not a bad thought. But what usually happens is when we think like that, we're projecting into the future. We're not enjoying life now. So that's why I've said there is no there, there is here. Now, what do I mean by that? I'll look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. Looking at the story of Joseph, I've just taken an extract here. Now, we're familiar with the story of Joseph. This chap had a dream when he was younger, big, bright future ahead of him, but that was just cut short. He was sold into slavery, and things just, you know, seemed like really bad for him, and he was a slave. But there's an extract here that I want us to look at. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So there's a lesson that we need to learn from Joseph here. Joseph had a big future ahead of him, which he thought was never going to happen anyway. He didn't throw up his hands in despair and say, and moan. I use that word moan. He wasn't saying, oh, my life hasn't turned out well. Only if my dream had been fulfilled, I wouldn't be a slave. You know, this slavery thing is just, you know, getting to me. And he could have that perspective. In the same way, he could say, well, when God delivers me from this thing, then my life will be fine. When I'm not feeling too well, I have this alignment in my body. When God finally, you know, heals me, you know, then I'll be able to really enjoy life. And we project into the future. Now, projecting into the future isn't bad. But what normally happens is that as we project that way into the future, it robs us of the fulfillment that we can get now. So if you're in a job and maybe the job isn't really paying what you expect, or maybe your kids are young and you have to do so many chores, instead of looking into the future of when you're going to get another job, or when your kids are going to be older, or when your coursework is going to be lighter, why don't you step back now and look at what we spoke about in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 24 and say, God, I'm really having a hard time now. I'm not really, you know, this thing is really stressing me out. Can you help me to focus on now and let me enjoy what I'm doing at the moment? Let me enjoy the job that I'm doing at the moment, even if it's not paying me what it is that I think I deserve. Let me enjoy my kids now, even if I have to change their nappies 10 times a day. Let me have joy in doing that so that I'm not just postponing my enjoyment of life to the future, which usually never comes, because when we get to that point, something else. So the perspective I'm trying to paint tonight is that whatever work you do, whatever job you do, whether you're a student, whether you're a stay-at-home parent, you can enjoy what you're doing now from a supernatural perspective. Why? God has said he has made provision for that. So that's something that we do not tap into, that's available for us, where irrespective if of your current situation, your current responsibilities, you can begin to enjoy and enjoy your life in the context of where you are. Joseph was a slave, but he was doing what he was going to do. In fact, if you read that story of Joseph, when he was thrown into prison, even worse, he was still asking the people around. He asked the baker, "You're not looking very cheerful today. Wow, how are you doing? What's happening?" So that gives you like an insight into Joseph's perspective, his frame of mind. And his frame of mind was that, look, whether I'm in prison or whether I'm a slave, irrespective of what condition my life is in at the moment, whether my kids are like tiring me out and all that, I will focus on the present and I will enjoy God's supernatural fulfillment in whatever it is I'm doing at the moment. So that's the perspective. And that's why I'm saying in that phrase, there is no there, there is here. So there's no there, I'll be fulfilled when I get there. No, you should be fulfilled now. You can be fulfilled now supernaturally. You don't have to wait till you get there. So there's here, and here is now. Do you understand what I mean? Now, the last point I'm going to make tonight is, I've spoken about work and the tendency that one can become overwhelmed with work, where you're just constantly tired, constantly fagged out, constantly just worn out. But saying that, we need to find a way that we can reset from work emotionally and physically. What am I saying? I said we need to find a way, this is the fifth and the last point, we need to find a way where we can reset from work emotionally, mostly, and even physically. Now, what does that mean? We don't want to get to the place where work and our life becomes like a, what they call that, like a that thing that spins. Well, I don't remember what it is, where it's just a constant chug. How do we get to the place, or how can we live in a place where we're energized all the time, we're ready to go the next day, we're experiencing the fulfillment of God, we're joyful at it, at what we're doing, we love, you know, what we're doing. How do we maintain that? Well, we need to find a way to reset. And when I say reset, it's taking time out daily or several times a day, if you can, where you focus on God. The Bible tells us something in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So this says that you and I have to find a way to reset, where we take time apart to spend time with God, reading the Bible. And again, I think I've spoken extensively about what I mean when I say reading the Bible with our hearts, communicating with God, and spending time just relaxing with God. So we need to find a way to do that on a daily basis. And Psalm 42 verse 2 says something. It says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" So it must be our heart's desire that, when can I just take time out, make time out to just spend this time with God? When can I do this? And one might say, I'm too busy. And you know, how How am I going to do that? Well, there are creative ways to do that. I remember when I was walking kind of like really far away from home, and I used to drive to my job then mostly every mornings, and it would take me 2 hours to drive there and 2 hours to get back. And I would be at work, almost for the whole day, so to speak. So, and I said, look, yes, I can get up and pray in the morning and spend time in the morning. I can also do that in the evening when I get back. But why do I have to wait till the evening before I communicate with God? Or why do I have to wait till the morning? So what I did was this, this is just my own approach. What I would do is that my lunch break was about 1 hour. During my lunch break, I would go to my car. In my car, maybe I'd buy lunch, maybe a sandwich or something. Then I'd go to my car, I'd sit down in my car, flip up my Bible, read through, relax with my sandwich. Then sometimes I would pray a bit. Now, obviously, I didn't do that every single lunch break. There were days that obviously I had to go out with my team members or stuff like that. During those times, if I had to go out with like a colleague, I would say, okay, look, I've got my lunch, it's like an hour. I'd just spend like 30 minutes with them or with my team, have lunch with them for 30 minutes. The remaining 30 minutes, and I didn't do that every day. The remaining 30 minutes, I'll just go to my car, flip up my Bible, pray a bit, read the Bible, meditate on the Bible. And that was the way I reset myself, not waiting till the night or waiting till the morning. That's the way I reset myself, so that even during the day, I was still in tune, still communicating with God. I was still receiving like the strength from God. So I could work several, and I wouldn't really feel it. Why? I believe it was because I understood that, look, I need to reset as often as I can. I need to take time out and just spend that time with God. So I'm going to end there tonight. And this brings our series to the end. So just recapping on what I've spoken about tonight, I've spoken about the fact that we can be fulfilled in our work, school, and caregiving life. It doesn't have to be something that's grudgy, something that's overwhelming, so on and so forth. And not only can we do that, God wants us to be fulfilled in that aspect of our life, and He has made a supernatural provision for us to experience that. We just need to tap into it. The second point I made was the fact that, look, when we do anything, look after our kids, work, let's do it as unto Christ, as we looked at in the scripture, so that God will bypass whatever it is you're experiencing, and He will give you that supernatural joy because it's Him that you're working for, ultimately, if you have that perspective. Third thing we looked at was the fact that, look, we need to be careful so that we're not overwhelmed with work, child bringing kids up and studying as well for school. It's something that is always there in the background. The fourth thing that we looked at was, I said, there is no there is here and there is now, where we do not postpone our fulfillment in work to something happening in the future, but we can experience fulfillment right now. And the last thing is, that I spoke about, the fifth one is, always having a way to reset from work so that you have time off in terms of just, carving that little time out for God, alone with God, where you can just meditate on the Bible, have the conversation with God. And as you and I do that, God supernaturally energizes us. Amen. I'm going to stop then. I'm just going to pray for us.